The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Start some trouble and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Oh, yeah. Another BX anthem. Joining us right now, BK, Brendan Cuddy on KM to AM. Covering your New York Yankees for The Athletic. My guy, I think I've had this guy on at least five times. I'm glad he's able to join us tonight after this article came out. Brendan Cuddy, how you doing?
Keith, I'm doing well, man. Thank you for having me. And it's not just a BX anthem. That's Gerrit Cole's warm-up music, right? Before he pitches, he plays Lean Back.
Yeah, they say there's a fat Joe curse on us now, though. Do you believe there's a fat Joe curse after the World Series?
You know, listen, I'm not going to hate on Fat Joe's performance. I think the spot was a little too big for him. I think that was just the wrong spot to have him. Like, the first lyrics or the words of, like, the first thing he was saying, I could still see the blank in your nose. Like, come on. This is...
I said blank.
Yeah,
but I know the lyrics.
Yeah. But like, you can't be on the Yankee Stadium stage and the first words you mouth of that. Like, come on now.
It was definitely a poor choice of songs and maybe artists to perform. I was told.
Side note. I heard that was actually, I don't know if this to be true, but I heard that was actually MLB's, like, decision.
Yes.
I was told by some members
of the Yankee brass that was not their decision. MLB chose Ice Cube and Fat Joe, you know, hip-hop for the kids.
Right. Yeah, of course. It's G-rated.
Yeah, but, like, you know, I got 100 guns, 100 clips from New York. I mean, as soon as you play Ja Rule over the loudspeakers, we're cooked.
Yeah, that's just... Yeah, I don't know, man. Good for Fat Joe, though. Good for him.
I'm cracking up because I saw Fat Joe like 20 minutes before he went live, and I was in the bleachers, and people were like, is Fat Joe going to perform? I'm like, nah, we don't have enough time before first pitch now. Scrap it. And then when he actually came out and people were not bopping to it, I'm like, they should have scrapped it.
Yeah, man. That was something else.
Thanks for the comedic relief in these Juan Soto sweepstakes times where people are getting a little fatigued, but I keep telling folks we're getting there. We're getting closer. This is happening soon. And, like, Blake Snell signs. He's out in Dodger Stadium. He's represented by Scott Boras. Scott Boras speaks. You guys are working. Will you be in Dallas for the winter meetings?
I will absolutely be in Dallas for the winter meeting.
I figured you would be. So, hey, I'll leave it to you. You know, Juan Soto bidding reaches $600 million, and in my opinion, it was never going to be lower than $600 million. The number for me is if it will reach $700 million. Just tell me how this came about and why on December 3rd this article needed to be put out there with the information that we know right now.
Well, I think it's important to let people know what we know right now, right? Like,
yeah.
the number 600 doesn't shock anyone, but I do think that letting people know where things stand this present day, as best we can, is our job. And I think that's the motivation, to letting people know the lay of the land the best that we can. And that's it. So that's why we think it's important to let it out now. Not even let it out now, to report it. And as you said, Keith, the winter meetings are coming. They'll start on Monday. Who knows if Juan's, decision will last into the winter meetings, or he could have it wrapped up before the winter meetings, and then Scott Boras can use that time to put the rest of his clients on a pedestal. So
sure.
there's a lot of ways he can go about this.
Sure, I mean, with the reports from over the weekend, shout out to Randy Miller. I've seen Randy. I know you're familiar with Randy. And Randy came on this radio station with Ricky Ricardo to say that, the Yankees are at $550 million. He put them in fourth place, the Blue Jays in third place, the Mets in second place, the Red Sox in first place. In your article, it still has the Los Angeles Dodgers in there. What I'll say is, when there are a lot of reports, and there were even reports over the weekend from anonymous, not anonymous, but like random people to me on Twitter that have sources and verified badges. And I think that's another reason why you put out an article, because obviously we respect your work and Ken and Evan and The Athletic. Like, this is something that we can say, okay, is a credible source. Folks that are not clout chasing, not saying anybody else is, but like, we know that this is just a stamp in time to say, no, this is actually what we know and where we are. So it kind of debunks some other things that we just heard a day or two ago.
No, I mean, look, there's no intention of debunking anything with this story. It's all just, here's what we know right now, and here's what we're publishing right now. So, anything that has been out there is what's been out there, right? And, I can't speak to it more than that. It's just, this is what we're reporting.
Okay, good. I mean, what do you think about the whole, like, okay, Juan Soto's in the process of eliminating teams now, right? There's not that many teams from what we know, but what can you say to that as far as, like, we know that there's a few things. There's maybe a week left. We know that there's a certain amount of years in the article. It says at least a 12-year deal, and now we know there's a floor for the salary. What can you tell us about how he's going about choosing what teams to move on from in his selection process?
Not much beyond the fact that it's happening, right? And you always knew it was going to happen, because you can't just have everyone sitting at the table the whole time, because not everyone's equal, right? The place wherever Juan really wants to go, wherever that is, isn't equal to the whoever is going to end up in fifth place. So as a courtesy to the teams who have extended you the courtesy of wanting to get to know you, wanting to pitch themselves to you, you let them down early and you let them down easy. And that's what I believe the process is now. Now, for all we know, there could have been other teams in addition to the five that are publicly have known to have been going hard and meeting him in California. So maybe he's starting with those teams. Or maybe he's going cutting straight to the chase and slimming down from the five right now. But look, man, it's Tuesday. Winter meetings are on Monday. Not a whole lot of time left. So, I mean, if he's knocking one off the board every other couple of days, like, then you have a decision. So that's where he's at. I can't tell you what it's going to come down to or what he's favoring, because only Juan knows that. But I know that I covered a guy who had a great time as a Yankee in 2024. And I'm sure the New York Yankees are banking on a lot of that.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, I've been saying there is some leverage there, even though everybody wants to just say he's taking the most money. I just think it's going to be hard to go into the unknown with what we know that he just recently experienced in pinstripes. We're on the phone right now with Brendan Cuddy from The Athletic, who covers the Yankees. I talk a lot about the Boras Five. I talk a lot about how last year, Chapman, Bellinger, Montgomery, JD Martinez, Snell, how there was a delay in their signings and it affected all of their seasons. And how, I mean, Jordan Montgomery went and got different representation. But fast forward to this year, Blake Snell is done. Frankie Montas has done. And there's some quotes from Boris in the article where, you know, he was asked about that. He says clubs weren't interested. They just didn't call. The market for free agents last year started maybe in the middle of February. It was different. People like to register that as it has something to do with me. I'm just a functionary of the system. We've signed 6-7 players already this year. These are the process of demand and when teams and ownerships choose to move in the marketplace. Like, so Boris, like, how much do you think Boris feels that? Because I've been saying, okay, he's moving this year, and I feel like Soto is going to get done sooner rather than later. Like, some people think, oh, this could drag out until it's not dragging out. Soto's the big fish. So my question for you is, how much do you feel the pressure of Scott Boris to kind of like bounce back from last year and to get things done faster and having the big free agent in Soto this year, getting him done, you know, before the winter meetings even start?
Yeah, I don't think it's so much season that's motivating Scott, because I've been doing this for 30 something years, more than that maybe, and you're talking about one really outlier season last year where things didn't maybe break the way people saw things going for the so-called Boris Four. I think he sees it more as an aberration. So I think this is more business as usual, and he's operating the way he should. You know, he's got the biggest fish, and teams are going to want to know where Juan Soto is going early in the off season so that they can set the rest of their budget. Mm-hmm. But also, Scott wants to know where Juan Soto is going early so he can send his other players in other directions. You know, Scott wants to know where Juan Soto is going so he then knows who has the most money for Pete Alonso. Mm-hmm. He wants to know where Pete Alonso and Juan Soto are going so he knows who's going to have the most money or the best opportunity for Corbin Burns. You know, it's
a trickle-down. Yeah.
Alex Bregman. It's a trickle-down on the team side and on the players and player side and on Scott Boris' side. It's working out this way because it was meant to work out this way, and I'd say last season was more of an aberration.
Okay, last thing for you. This goes to something I've been saying, too, about the Yankees and their power to spend and how the Yankees going to the World Series, they made more money than they have in any other year, and how Hal Steinbrenner came out during the owner's meeting and said a lot of things that, like, no other owners were talking about. And, you know, he didn't have to say. He said things about, I have ears and I know what's expected of me, and saying we have more financial flexibility than ever and I can sign any player. And then in your article, it ends, you know, talking about the Dodgers. And I've been saying, hey, the Dodgers went out and spent the most money last offseason. And what happened? They won. So the quote from Boris, when he was asked about the Dodgers payroll and the luxury tax and what they've been doing with deferred contracts, whatever, he says, I would say that, as George Steinbrenner said, whatever you do to compete, the fact that I can compete in a different way than others, so be it. I don't think that has anything to do with the number of trophies that hang over your stadium. I don't think fans remember that. Like, what do you have to say about him evoking George's name, and also the fact that, like, the Dodgers are doing a deferred money thing and the Yankees with Hal Steinbrenner? I think he's feeling a little bit of that too, George's son. Like, the Yankees have the money to swim in these waters, and the Yankees understand how much it's going to cost to get Juan Soto as well.
Yeah, I mean, in the past, I believe it's been Brian Cashman who said, in terms of deferred deals, that teams don't look at the Yankees and say, okay, defer us some money. They say, you're the Yankees, you're worth bajillion mm-hmm. dollars. Pay me now, man. And I'll get deferred money from the Washington Nationals. I'll get deferred money from these, you know, upper mid-level teams. So I don't know that the Yankees have really been the target destination or the ideal landing spot for a player who may want some kind of deferment, you know? So I don't know that that matters so much. I don't think Hal sees it like that. I think the Yankees, if the best deal they can get on Juan Soto for him to sign on the dotted line, if it involved deferred money, I think they would do it, of course. But it just really hasn't been there, hasn't materialized. And, you know, I do think that Scott invoked George, not in a way to provoke Hal, because he has a really good relationship with Hal. Hal has signed a number of his clients throughout the years. I think he did it because Scott is of George Steinbrenner's time, you know, the 90s,
yes.
2000, you know, he things that George Steinbrenner said rung true back then and they ring true now. So I don't put it any deeper than that. I just think it's a good line and it's a good reference and it's a good point.
Okay, so before I let you go, I got to get two things from you. One, a prediction of what day on the calendar this is all done, and two, who signs Juan Soto?
All right, Keith, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, just trying to get you on record so when it all comes
out.
That's for us to do. That's for us radio hosts to do.
Yeah, I would love to have that for you. You know, I've talked a lot about how, again, having covered Juan with the Yankees, I mean, it wouldn't shock me if that's where he wanted to stay. The team just went to the World Series, had a great time there. But you never know who's going to come with what. You never know what opportunities are going to arise. And you never know what his real priorities are in relative to the marketplace. So any guess I give you and any date I give you will, I don't think it'd be the most accurate, and I look funny just like anybody else is going to look funny because no one knows where this is going.
Right. We're just wait. I think what it comes down to is time will expire. I just have this imaginary hourglass in my mind of the sand trickling down. And when time is expiring, you'll see who really wants them or not. You'll see how the offers move or don't move, who gets desperate, who doesn't. And then ultimately, it's this man's decision where he wants to sign. And we're going to find out in like a week or so. And that's perfectly fine. I'm not fatigued anymore. This is the last stretch of it. I'm excited for it as a Yankee fan, as a baseball fan, and as a radio host on the Fan.
Yeah, poor Juan Soto. What a tough time for this guy.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, he's got such a difficult decision out of him.
Sleep,
you know,
I'm sure he's losing sleep at night thinking about how rich he's going to be wherever he decides to play.
Yeah, man, it's tough. And I feel for him.
Yeah, I'm just trying to not, get my easy pass hit, and I'll take the train instead of riding in with the easy pass.
So that's so real. That's so real. my easy pass replenishes every other week, and it's like you have to put $250 in this thing. So I feel you there.
Yeah, nah, they hit me for over $400. I took the card out. I'm like, nah, I'd rather owe you. I'd rather you come get me, and I'll be on the train when you come to get me.
There you go.
BK, you're the man. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Keith, thanks for having me, and have a good night. And everyone, thanks for listening.
Brendan Cuddy from The Athletic. Make sure you go follow him. If you follow me, his account is right there, but it's not hard to find him. It's at Brendan Cuddy NJ. He does great work. I've run into him a bunch of times at the stadium at different events, and he gave us some laughs. He gave us some insight. And he just gave us a fresh article on The Athletic if you want to know more about where we are December 3rd in the Juan Soto sweepstakes.
Your official station to talk Giants. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Halfway through another 5-hour KM to AM. Can I vent about something for a minute here before we get back to the phones at 888-808-1019? The NFL is playing a dangerous game with how soft they want to be and how they want to police these defensive players and hits. Like, I was on air Sunday in real time, and at the time, I didn't realize Azeez Al-Shaair, who he was. He's a captain of the Texans. He used to be on the 49ers. A clip actually resurfaced of him grabbing Tom Brady's throat. Clips also resurfaced of him against the Bears in week 2 throwing a punch at Roschon Johnson. Now, when you have a reputation of being a quote-unquote dirty player, when you have things on your resume that people can pull up, there is no forgiveness. But when you actually took a step back to look at the Trevor Lawrence play, where it's a design run, and the way Trevor Lawrence kind of tried to slide right at the first down marker, I just don't know what you want these defensive players to do. If you've ever played defense, right, the whole thing on defense, especially as a safety or a corner or even a linebacker, that ball is snapped. You're going backwards first. You're giving ground. And then when it's a run, pass, you react. And one of the hardest things in football to do is to slow down in real time and not lay a hit on a sliding quarterback. Other players don't slide. Remember Kenny Pickett and the fake slide a couple years back in the bowl game with Pitt? Like, he got that off. But when that happened, defenders were like, wait. Like, you're sliding, basically waving the white flag. You're sliding, giving yourself up to say, I'm down, don't hit me. But if you slide late, or if you fake slide, which nobody does a fake slide anymore, but if you slide late, there's this blurred line. There's this in-between zone where how am I supposed to stop my forward momentum? In the NFL specifically, that game moves so fast. And I was in here watching it, and at first, Paulie was with me. We thought it was helmet to helmet. But then in real time, or not in real time, we thought it was helmet to helmet. But in slow motion, we saw, okay, it was a forearm. You know what? Why it also looked worse than it was? The fighting that came after it. You got to protect the quarterback. That's a tale as old as time. You take a shot at my quarterback is down, and the fact that Trevor Lawrence had been out and it was his first game back, a struggling Jaguars team, they had to do something about it. And then obviously, you know, that added gas to the fire and it was explosive, and then the fans are throwing stuff on the field as, you know, he's being, Aziz Alshaier is being escorted off. And, you know, the crazy thing about it, a lot of people have weighed in on it. Tom Brady talked about it. Tom Brady said, let me pull up the Tom Brady quote. He said, when you run, you put yourself in a lot of danger. And when you do that, I don't think the onus of protecting an offensive quarterback who's running should be on a defensive player. I don't think that's really fair to the defense. Maybe they fine or penalize a quarterback for sliding late, you know, and say, look, if we don't want these hits to take place, we've got to penalize the offense and the defense rather than just penalize a defensive player for every single play that happens when there's a hit on a quarterback. It has gotten so soft, you can't hit the quarterback at all. He is a runner now. Come on. I watched Cam Newton get smacked. Like, there are certain quarterbacks that can get hit. There's certain quarterbacks that can't. It's gotten to a place where, like, the NFL is playing a dangerous game. They got to figure it out. So this guy's got a 3-game suspension. And when he puts his apology out, everybody on Twitter kills him. And I actually didn't mind his GM coming out to defend him. I actually didn't mind his head coach coming out to defend him, because after they looked at the film, after they saw everything, and then the NFL made the 3-game suspension, it's like, come on, this is a team right now. The Texans, they are fighting for, you know, playoff position. They've had some bad losses. They lost to the Jets. You know, the GM said for the league to make some of the commentary about lack of sportsmanship, lack of coachability, lack of paying attention to the rules, quite frankly, it's embarrassing. And to talk about a player who's never been suspended, never been ejected, so now we're saying he's going to be suspended for 3 games. This guy's a captain. He's a leader in the locker room. I don't know. It's just not a good look. It's not a good look. And I think there has to be fault both ways. You know, there has to be, you know, dual responsibility. You took off as a runner on a design running play, and instead of, like Josh Allen does, try to run through a defender, you got to the line where the defender has to, these defenders know where the first down is. They have to protect that line. What do you want him to do? What do you want him to do? Just let Trevor Lawrence, oh, he's sliding. Let him slide at the first down marker safely, get the first down and extend the drive. It's a tough thing. I don't know. It rubbed me the wrong way. I was on the fan live as we watched it happen. And then what unfolded after with the brawl and then the fans throwing stuff on the field and the fight, it's not a good look. And this stuff could be avoided if we change how these quarterbacks are treated, how these quarterbacks slide. It can't be this like cheat code where I'm sliding. No, you're a runner, man. And when you step out there to run, these defenders, they got to hit you. They got to send a message and they got to protect that first down line. 888-808-1019. Thanks for letting me get that off as, you know, football fan, former football player, former quarterback. I never slid, but I was a running quarterback. So I knew, hey, when you go out there, they're going to try and take your head off. Be prepared. Lower shoulder. Or go head first into the ground. I never practiced a slide. You just got to understand, like, these guys are, they're coming for you fast, bro. Like, it's the NFL. It's the fastest game. It's the highest level of it. 888-808-1019. Let's see. Back to the conversation around Juan Soto. These guys have been holding. So Jeff is up in the Bronx. Jeff, you got it.
Hey, what's up, Keith? How you doing?
Good, good. Thanks for holding, man.
Keith, man, I'm a Yankee fan just like you. I'm a Juan Soto fan. But looking at the picture as a whole, I think we might be better off without him, man. I mean, just hear me out. Imagine a team with Santander in left field, Adamas at third, Bellinger at first, and that guy, Tanner Scott, in the bullpen. Don't you think we'll be like a more complete team and a more competitive team with just Juan Soto? Or maybe I'm crazy.
The key, and you're not crazy, but the key words are imagine and think. I don't have to imagine or think about what Juan Soto is. I just saw it. You know, I don't have to imagine or think about how he fits with the team. I don't have to imagine or think about what the lineup looks like or if that team is better. That team got to the World Series. It the proof is in the pudding. It was right in front of me. I saw it with my own eyes. I lived it. I just can't come off of plan A for plan B until I know plan A isn't going down.
Yeah, but the thing is, I mean, look at the Dodgers, man. They're getting stronger by the minute. You know what I mean?
They're in the National League.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean, let's say we get to the World Series again. And you know they didn't even have a pitching staff. You know what I mean? And now imagine all these guys are healthy. You know what I mean? They're a very strong team.
Run it back. They can drop the ball in the outfield, too. They can throw the ball around the infield as well. Run it back. I want that. I would love to avenge that loss and beat the Dodgers at full strength. Run it back.
Me too. I'm a Yankee fan. But you know what? But I mean, all right, do you think we have enough money to get Soto and the pieces that we need?
I know they have enough money to get Juan Soto. I know how much those tickets cost. I was in Legends in the World Series. I know how many people were in there spending money buying merch. I spent $200 in World Series merch for no reason. Like, I know they can afford them. Jeff, don't get cold feet now. We're almost there. Thanks for the call, bro. 888-808-1019. I don't want to imagine. I don't want to think. How many different iterations of the Yankees where you had to imagine what Brian McCann was going to look like? You had to imagine what Jacoby Ellsbury was going to be. You had to imagine, like, oh, we get Joey Gallo. We get Andrew Benintendi. We get, like, I don't want to imagine what these guys are going to be. I've already seen Juan Soto. He's built for it. He was born for it. It was so natural to him to be a Yankee, to play in Yankee Stadium. Go get that guy. And if he doesn't want to be a Yankee, there's nothing you can do to twist his arm. You just had a whole year to convince him. If he doesn't want it and you actually come through with the money, so be it. Then you take that money and spend it elsewhere. But I can't say that this team, like, there is a human factor as well, a chemistry factor as well. I don't know how Cody Bellinger and Tanner Scott and Corbin Burns or whoever work in the clubhouse. I know all those guys love Juan Soto. I know they love going to battle with Juan Soto. I know they love watching his BP, his preparation, watching his at-bats. I know they loved having Juan Soto on their team. Let's go to Lakewood and talk to Ari on the fan. What's up, Ari?
Hey, Keith. Thanks for taking my call. I want to mention, what do you think, when do you think Juan Soto is going to be signed? Number one.
No later than a week from today. I don't think that we get to next Tuesday and don't know. I think that is going to happen sometime this weekend because the winter meetings actually kick off Sunday the 8th. And once those conversations start happening in person, that's how the wheeling and dealing and signing and stuff starts to really get done. Trades start happening. Juan Soto cannot hold the lineup. I think at the latest, it is the 10th. But I really think the window is somewhere. But it might be Monday or Friday. I don't think they're going to do it over the weekend.
And what team does your gut tell you is going to sign Soto?
The New York Yankees, because he played for the Yankees. And every step of the way, the Yankees have not given you a sign that they're not going to go the distance in paying him, that they're not going to, like, they're in on him completely. Thanks for the call. Ralph, I skipped you in order. We got to go to Ralph and Yonkers right now. What's up, Ralph?
Hey, good evening, Keith. Another great show. I always enjoy it.
Thank you.
Just wanted to kind of talk about that, like, that going that bat rule about making the game more, what you just said, spicier, right? Spicier?
Yeah, they want to make the game more exciting, I guess. Or also, you know, so the game doesn't end with Alex Verdugo grounding out, striking out, whatever.
Okay, I got a couple ideas. If you just give me a little leeway, make it a little spicier, a little more entertaining for the fans. So here's my idea. Okay, here's the first one. So at the end, at the beginning of the game, when the managers go to home plate, they each get to pick a player from the other team's roster and put it on their tie. Okay? All right? And now to make it very spicy, obviously they won't have the uniform, right? You put them in a golden thong. You see what I did there? A golden thong. Okay? You spice things up.
And Giambi and Jeter? Yeah. Go on.
My second idea is seventh inning stretch. Let's really, really make it entertaining. We pick a fan out of the stands. He gets to lead off the bottom of the seventh inning. What do you think?
No, that'd be terrible. I've had comments about how, you know, there's 45,000 people in the stands. Maybe four of them could hit major league pitching. That wouldn't be, it'd be a quick at bat. Easy out. Thanks for the call. No, like the thing about baseball for me is like, I don't need it to be more entertaining. I'm already entertained. There's so many layers to baseball, the business of baseball, these players, where they're from, the history of the teams, the stats, the rivalries, the ballparks, the fandom. I don't need anything else. I'm good with it how it is. I don't need expansion. I don't need to be realigned. I laughed to myself that we got rid of the two worst stadiums in baseball organically. The Coliseum and Tropicana Field. Done. Sooner than I thought. Would you look at that? There will be no games played in the two worst ballparks in baseball. 888-808-1019. At some point, I would like to talk about the schedule going into next year, but we've got plenty of time to do that before we get there. Tonight's not the night. But I did see Fanatics Fest is coming back, and this is not a plug for them, but Fanatics Fest was in August of last year, and they moved it up to June this year. I'll definitely be there. I had a ton of fun at those 3 days. I walked in there on Friday just to go support WFAN, see BT and Sal. I wasn't working. I just showed up there, you know, dressed up. They said, wear your best, you know, sports costume, whatever. I just showed up there as a fan, not knowing what I was walking into. And it was a sports fan wonderland. And just being able to see that many celebrities and athletes, and it's like, it was like overload for like everybody in YouTube, podcasting, TV, radio that you like as a sports fan, they're all there. I can't wait for it again this year. And I thought about it. I'm like, okay, I forget where the Mets were last year, but I know the Yankees were out of town. The Yankees were facing the Detroit Tigers. And since it's in June, I'm like, okay, I think the Mets and Yankees were out of town. So I'm like, there won't be any Mets or Yankees here. But this year it will be, I think, June 20th through 22nd. And the Yankees will be home versus the Baltimore Orioles. The Mets will be on the road against the Philadelphia Phillies, but not too far. So like, that's the one thing I thought was missing, right? I remember having conversations about the King of New York and saying, like, after I saw the fanfare for Jalen Brunson, I'm like, this guy is a king. I didn't want to give him, you know, king status as another second round exit, but I'm like, this guy had more fanfare than Derek Jeter, David Ortiz, Tom Brady, Hulk Hogan. I'm like, the pandemonium when Jalen Brunson walked through, the amount of Brunson jerseys and Knicks fans and how many people were lined up for him to sign an autograph. I'm like, oh, this guy's king right now. Ben is up in Connecticut on the fan. Hello, Ben.
How's it going, Keith?
It's going.
So first of all, I wanted to make the Knicks point. I mean, this is so exciting as a Knicks fan. It's kind of crazy. I've never seen a Knicks offense like this. I mean, some of these teams, like if you don't bring your defensive game, we drop like 150 on you. It's crazy.
Yeah, they called the dogs off here a little bit, but like, yep. It's, I mean, it's still, I think at one point I was like, they're going to score 150 points. It's 109-81 with 8:46 left in the fourth. They'll still probably put up 120, 130 here if they want to. They got a lot of firepower. They got a lot of scoring power, and we kind of knew that. You have multiple guys on this team that can get 30 points. Like, I don't know. Tell me what you're seeing. Carl Anthony Towns is having a hell of a year. You knew he would coming back home and the dream being realized playing for the Knicks. Any given night, Brunson, obviously from the last couple years with the Knicks, we've seen him give you 40. Mikal Bridges, he hasn't had that many nights, but he most recently did have a 30-point night. And then you mix in OG, you mix in Josh Hart. There's help on the way. There's reinforcements on the way. They're looking like a high firepower team. That's the NBA now.
Yes. Yes, totally. I mean, and they're only going to further learn, you know, Tibbs' defensive structure, which is already they're already starting to come into their own a little bit. I just have never seen a Knicks team like this. I mean, I'm a diehard Knicks fan, and usually it's like, you know, like last year, we were a really scrappy defensive team, but our two bigs, Ihart and Mitch, obviously, like, they just didn't score at all, basically. So I'm kind of used to the team that grinds it out. I've just never seen this unbelievable offensive juggernaut put on the floor here.
I feel like they had to do it. With all of the hype, with all of the fandom, with the attendance at the Garden, you got to give people something to cheer about. From my experience going to the Garden, when it gets stagnant and there aren't a lot of shots going down, it gets tense in there. You can hear all the oohs and oh, like when there's missed shots, man, they are draining shots and everybody is up in there. And it's December. Wait till we get to the spring.
It's been a lot of fun in there. The place is rocking. I wanted to move to the NFL because I totally agree with your Open coming back from this past break about how, I mean, I don't know how you can really blame a guy for defending the stick there. I mean, first of all, I understand that from the NFL's perspective, like, let's be honest, watching a Jaguars game without Trevor Lawrence is just something that no one wants to ever do, and they're trying to protect their assets at any cost, and
I get
that.
Even with them, don't care to watch the Jaguars. Right. Yeah.
Well, yeah, sure. But, like, you know, the quarterbacks are important to the league, and I get that. But also, you know, it's almost I think the overprotection of quarterbacks is almost working against the NFL a little bit here because these quarterbacks feel invincible. Like, the idea that you can run at full speed up to a defender who's coming at you and then slide at the last second and you don't think he's going to hit you? I mean, because we've baby-proofed the league where the quarterbacks think they're invincible. If you were to tell Trevor Lawrence there, hey, listen, he's allowed to hit you, you think he would have just, like, live with his head up like that? Of course not. But they think they're invincible and they think that they can't be touched.
That's why I said go head first. But you know what it was? It was like a sneaky slide. Like, I'm going to slide right where this spot is going to be at the sticks and he's not going to be able to hit me and I'll get the first down. You can't slide like that going into the goal line.
Exactly right. And I don't think that's good for the league. I mean,
that's what I'm saying.
I'm almost like invincible for 2 yards.
It's a tricky game. There's already so many rules to help the offense. What are these defenders allowed to do? Thanks for the call, Ben. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back.
Your official station to talk New York Rangers. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Okay. Thanks for holding. Thanks for waiting. I think we're moving on from the Juan Soto conversation into more of the football conversation, but nobody's moving on from the Juan Soto conversation until he signs. So 888-808-1019. Coming up at 10 o'clock, Connor Hughes from SNY, former Monmouth or fellow Monmouth University Hawk, will join me on the Fan to talk some football, get the Jets and Giants conversation going. I was just talking about the hit on Trevor Lawrence, and we got some people that want to react to that and some Juan Soto calls, so let's try and get a couple in before we go back to the break. Bobby's in Belmore again. What's up, Bobby? You're back on the Fan.
Hey. Hi, Keith. Looking forward to our next Celtics-Knicks matchup after that first game. Oh,
sure.
Oh, wow. And Mahomes, they got to ban the slide after this. I think the head first is what they have to do. Imagine if that was Mahomes. This guy would have been suspended for the year.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so and let me get to the story. I talked about this a few days ago. Now, from supposedly the Yankees' offer is only up to $550. The Red Sox.
Not to cut you off, Bobby. I just had Brendan Cuddy on, and The Athletic put out an article that now all the offers are minimum $600 million. So the Yankees have to have a $600 million offer out there.
Well, I can't believe that they won't match whatever the highest offer is.
Yeah, don't believe it until we know it to be fact and true. Right. That hasn't been reported.
Right. Now, forget Toronto. I mean, they're just using Toronto. He ain't going there. You know, the tax rate and those two players, Bichette and Guerrero, are going to leave anyway. They're not going there. But it's going to come down to those three teams. Now, it's going to be like a poker match. You have three guys sitting at the table. I see you. I raise you this. I mean, what do you think is going to happen? It could go up as high as 700. I mean, you've got three players at the poker table. And, you know, I play poker. And you keep raising it. You know, this could go closer to 700.
Yeah, but it's slightly different than poker, Bobby. Thanks for the call. there will be a deadline. No more bets, right? It'd be more like the roulette table where you're putting chips, and certain three guys at the table have 650, and then, you know, obviously it's not going to land on a number, but there's going to be a time where there's no more bets. And what do I predict? We're going to get to the finish line, and Juan Soto is going to have to decide. And there might be a team with a little bit more money than the other. There might be a team that matches another. But ultimately, he's going to have to decide where he wants to be. And I just think it's going to be so much money that he's going to make the decision where he wants to play. Like we're talking about a $600 million contract. Like, no matter where he picks out of these teams, he's going to be good. Greg is in Nutley, New Jersey on the Fan. Hello, Greg.
Hey, what's going on, man? Hey, first of all, I've been listening for a while. I don't call that much. It's awesome to listen to you whenever I can in the PM hours.
Thank you.
I was calling about the hit on Trevor. But first, when you said before about just talking about baseball and watching it, and one of the callers talking about making it more entertaining, I get it. I guess if you're not a baseball guy, but for me, I think what you were saying, I could watch like slow baseball for 9, 10, 11, 8, doesn't matter. Your baseball
I watched
mind,
the Little
you
League
could
World
watch
Series
it.
In the pandemic. I was getting up at 6 a.m. watching KBO, didn't know any of the players. Like, if you, yep. I don't know. I'm not trying to sell anybody on baseball.
I could watch
don't
pitch
come.
By pitch.
Like, don't,
I
like, leave the seats
pitch.
For the rest of us. Don't show up.
Yep. Yeah, now I get it. I mean, I get it from the other standpoint, too. But so about the Trevor Lawrence thing, I am not like a new school way of thinking about making football soft. I know. People think it's been getting softer, and obviously it has. The slide is obviously obsolete. But two points. One is everybody talks about, well, in the 90s or in the 80s, the slide was the only thing a quarterback did in the 80s and 90s. But I'm not trying to justify that. The thing is, if you look at bringing up the 80s and 90s, the hit he put on Trevor looked like, I don't know what it was called, but when it was WWF and they jumped off the top rope and then they just put their elbow down on the head, obviously it was fake, but that's what his hit looked like. So I know everybody's saying they got to toughen it up. You can only protect the quarterback so much. He's running. I get it. But, dude, he led with his elbow and forearm. You don't tackle like that when the quarterback's standing up.
But it's that
so
versus
you're not
the
gonna,
helmet.
You're not going to tackle like that when he's sliding.
Yeah, but he did
he
that.
He led with his elbow.
Instead of leading with the helmet, because then it would have been helmet to helmet. I don't know. You got to hit him. Thanks for the call, Greg. Yeah. What are these guys supposed to do? Hug him? Two-hand touch him? Pull a flag? You give these guys pillows to show up and just pillow fight them? Like, it's football, man. I don't know. I understand safety and protecting a guy, but how is he supposed to? That line, the defense is trying to stop you from converting a first down and extending the drive. They are trying to get off the field. What is he supposed to do? Oh, you got it. You got it, Trevor. Good job. You slid right at the line. No, especially when you go back and watch the play. That's a design run. You're a running back. I'm coming to take your head off. I don't care. 888-808-1019. And it turned into all this other stuff. And that's why I said I do not mind D'Amico Ryan's coming out there defending his team. No, you're not going to label us as dirty. And you're not going to turn this into, okay, yeah, we're losing our captain, our safety for three games. But, like, we're going to stand on our principles. We're going to stand on our coaching. We're going to stand on our organization that, like, it isn't what you say it is. Okay, Connor Hughes is coming up. We're going to continue the conversations around the NFL, around football, specifically the Jets and the Giants. Keith McPherson on the Fan.